back. Jones gets sacked again. Hassan Reddick this time. Two sacks on the opening drive for Philadelphia.
And he finds a nice little window there.
On third and short, Sanders up the gut and in. Touchdown, Philadelphia. On fourth and seven, Hurts lofts it for Smith. It's a touchdown, Devontae Smith. And Nick Sirianni. Yeah, a first down pass play. Jalen Hurts has been locked in so far. Works it all and has Brown. One play to get in the end zone. A.J. Brown for the 10th time this year. 4 to choose from near side. Instead, Hurts takes off and gashes him. Touchdown, Philly. And it's Jalen Hurts on the ground.
84 passing, 191 rushing.
Another carry for Sanders, and this one breaks loose. He's headed for the end zone. Touchdown.
Check that. 232 rushing.
That's some quick math. Last year to this year, from 4-13 to in the playoff pictures. This is a sack from behind by Graham. Ball comes out, and the Eagles have it. It's recovered by Patrick Johnson after Brandon Graham got his third sack of the day.
He's seen everything. He understands what we're trying to do.
Scott sneaks through there and into the end zone for another Philly touchdown.
Welcome to the AAT Birds postgame show.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the AAT Birds postgame recap here on the AAT Sports Network, AAT Birds. Y'all, it was a massacre at the Meadowlands. I love that. I love it. It was beautiful. It's Sunday night. We are living high. We are the first team in the NFL to clinch a playoff berth. I am Chip at Chip for the Birds and Umpire Stories, joined, of course, by Johnny U at Johnny U 9322 and Kendall at KBeck Eagles. Yo, it wasn't even close. Thoughts, initial takeaways from a very enjoyable Sunday afternoon. Kendall, let me start with you. How are you feeling right now?
Feeling pretty good, dude. I mean, we're averaging like 35 points without Dallas Goedert, which is pretty crazy because he's like the focal point of the offense. And we're just playing really well, like all around. We have 49 sacks, which is pretty crazy. We had 29 last year. And then also Miles Sanders is like playing really good, like way better than I thought he was going to this year. So just like a complete domination, and I kind of anticipated it going into it because, the Giants were a mess, and we're so much better than them. So, I mean, we're the best team in the NFC for sure, and probably the NFL. So,
going into this game, I think a lot of us try to talk ourselves into this being a closer game than really – that it was, especially with the Giants being so beat up defensively, a lot of guys being out, and they just took it to them. And it was absolutely wonderful to see the offense. The first drive, they just methodically just went down the field. Basically the first two drives, I think it was 16 and 14 plays. It was a lot of plays, a lot of yards, and they just methodically went down the field, whether it was, you know, short little dink and dunk passes. They weren't just trying to go deep. Jalen was picking them apart, nickel and diming them. And it was great. And then they had the weird punt, whatever you want to call it.
Punt, whatever that was that so is. Weird, dude. That was so sketchy.
And then the next play, A.J. Brown, boom, touchdown. And it's absolutely crazy what this offense and what this team is doing. And, you know, I mentioned on we did a pregame show today, and I mentioned about where we were 2 years ago, 2020, and the outlook of that to then what the Eagles are now. And it's absolutely, you know, great to see everything. But it's really hard to find, like, negatives. I think the only negative would be the injuries that happened, but – offensively, they were on point. What do you agree with me, Chip?
Yeah, I think so. 2 years ago, we were 3-8-1 at this point, which is what. Yeah, 3-8-1 in the middle of a playoff push. That's a great point. By the way, have you noticed real quick, have you noticed that no one is absolutely crap talking on the NFC South like they always do with the NFC East? Have you noticed that? Because all of those teams are 500 or below.
It's because Tom Brady's in there. They don't want
just wanted to float that out there. Yeah, 2 years ago, this Eagles team was 3-8-1 at this point. And since then, we have come completely full circle. This Eagles team today showed domination. The offensive line played incredible. The defensive line played incredible. And I think that the point that you made, which was we tried to talk ourselves, and Javier said the same thing. We tried to talk ourselves into this game being close. Even on Wednesday night, I was sitting there, you know, with my coach's mentality going, well, if Daniel Jones gets the ball out quick, you know, he'll be able to pick us apart. And, you know, that's not what this team is. This team is very well coached. This team plays hard. You know, if we're trying to be nitpicky, we'll say the same thing we always do. Jonathan Gannon took his foot off the gas for a series and then realized what he was doing and immediately revved it back up, and we put the team away. We shut Saquon Barkley down. The receivers, who are nobodies, did nothing. I mean, this Eagles team went out and did exactly what they had to do in a dominating way once again, and therefore are the best team in the NFL. I don't want to hear it. Maybe the end. We are the best team in the NFL, no questions asked, by record and by style of play.
No, I think you're 100% correct there. There's, you know, I think a lot of people want to put the emphasis on a hot team at the end. And a lot of
sure.
people are doing that with Dallas, and they're starting to kind of do that with San Francisco. But again, what has this Eagles team done the last 3 weeks? You know, offensively, they've dominated each and every opponent. You know, I know the Green Bay game, they had a little bit of, you know, defensive woes there. But again,
it wouldn't even seem.
But remember, and it's hard to win a game in the NFL. You hear it all the time. You hear it from sports commentators who play the game. You hear it from people on Twitter. It is tough to win a game in the NFL. And the perfect example, I think, is the Detroit Lions. Okay. The Detroit Lions are one of the best losing football teams I have ever seen. You know what I mean? They are a great team that cannot win games. Meanwhile, you look at a team like the Texans, who are 1-10-1. They're not good, but any given week, I mean, they took Dallas down to the wire today. Yeah. So I really don't want to hear, oh, well, they should have done this and they should. What's your excuse today? Because for the last 2 weeks, they have dominated every facet of the game.
Yeah, even special teams, which we've had some, you know, issues with. You had Boston Scott had that wonderful kick return. That was really, really nice to see.
Even Britton Covey, how many times have we said, cut this guy? If we cut him, we're out of holder today.
Yeah.
Bro, Boston Scott had some good returns too.
Like, yes, he did.
A few solid returns. But that punt was really bad though.
Well, there's some things that, of course, injury-wise, they're going to be looking forward to. But, you know, looking at this game and looking at – and I want to kind of bring it here to talk about, to me, the MVP leading candidate right now is Jalen. Mm-hmm.
Again, no question.
No question. Especially, look, Patrick Mahomes threw 3 interceptions. Jalen Hurts has 3 interceptions this whole season. So,
bro, people are saying, like, oh – because Mahomes is throwing a lot more passes, of course, he's going to have more picks. It's like, bro, Jalen's rushing for a lot too, and, like, he has his fumbles here and there, but, like, it's not to the amount of Mahomes' picks.
You know, and I'll give it this too. I watched a number of Chiefs games because of being on primetime. There's a handful of interceptions that went off defenders' hands that, you know, could also be counted there. You know, he's towards the top. I don't care how many more passes he has and whatever. Listen, MVP is most valuable player.
Mm-hmm. And
what Jalen Hurts is doing, nobody has seen a quarterback do ever. He's had back-to-back 10 touchdown rushing seasons. Nobody's ever done that. Not Lamar Jackson, not Cam Newton, nobody. And he has potential to be the first ever 4,000 passing yards, 30 passing touchdowns, 1,000 rushing yards, and 10 touchdowns.
Damn.
It's not that far off, and it could happen. Now, again, it may not happen because they may not need the last game of the season. They may be
starting the starters.
But, hey, this is an MVP caliber season, what he is doing. And it's awesome to see because his completion percentage is 68%. That's risen up tremendously. His passer rating is, I think, 108 or 109. You know, what he is doing and leading this offense, and yes, he's got talented players. They've drafted, they've signed, they've traded.
But that's what you're doing. Like, I hate that.
Exactly. Yeah. Look, Patrick Mahomes had Tyreek Hill and had all these guys, and he won. But listen,
they went out and got Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, they went out and got all these guys as well. He's got the best wide. He's got the best tight end in football. Are you supposed to say how dare he?
Yeah, exactly. It goes to the point of this. Jalen Hurts last year had how many games where the receivers would drop a pass? They wouldn't run the right routes. You know, pertaining to a couple of guys who are no longer on the team. Running routes and everything for him and playing for, you know, on the same field as him, you upgraded and Jalen Hurts has taken that step. And a lot of it has to do with two passes this Sunday. Yes. Today, the Devontae Smith, where he didn't tap his toe, with a beautiful ball. And then the Miles Sanders down the sideline past Jalen Smith, where he didn't get his feet in. He bobbled the ball a little bit.
Yeah,
those two passes were phenomenal, and it just shows you how much he's basically improved as a passer.
And it's funny because there were passes today where he kind of went back to the old Jalen, and he didn't set his feet, and he threw with his arms while coming forward, and the throw was really behind or buried in the dirt. And as a fan, you want to kind of pause and go, oh my gosh, here we go. Like, here's where he bounces back. He bounces back and he does what it takes to win this Eagles team. And I think it's more of an organizational issue that we're talking about here. So they went out and they got, you know, AJ Brown. They went out and they got, you know, Hassan Reddick. They went out and they got all these players. But then they keep throwing up these stats and how Miles Sanders is the first 1,000-yard back since 2014 in LeSean McCoy, how AJ Brown is the first 1,000-yard receiver since Jeremy Maclin in 2014. That shows you that even from 2014 to even last year, they did what they had to do most years. There was a Super Bowl win where everyone kind of stepped up and did what they had to do, but there was never the dominating players that there used to be when there was the TOs, when there were the Jeremy Maclins, when there were the DeSean Jacksons in his first run with the team. And when you put players like that around a quarterback that is both a leader and an incredible athlete, and in this situation, people go, oh, well, he can't throw from the pocket. He can't do this. He's leading the league in all pocket throws.
Yeah. And the other thing is AJ Brown and Miles Sanders have over 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns. The first time, the last time an Eagles duo running back receiver did that was 1996 in Ricky Waters and Irving Fryer.
Bro, people forget that.
Friend of the show, Irving Fryer.
Last year, Jalen Hurts was throwing to Jalen Reagor and Devontae Smith as his receivers. And we should have beat the Giants last season. And Reagor had, what, like three drops in a row that were all like touchdowns?
They beat themselves last season in New York. And it's great because Jalen was able to avenge that.
But that's the thing. You could tell he held it. As bad as he was, he still put them in a position to win. And so it's like he needs to get that credit. And this year he completely like didn't even give him a chance.
Yeah. No,
And it's interesting, you know, just because we're doing it, since we're mentioning Jalen Reagor guaranteed a Vikings victory today. Not only did they lose, but he contributed exactly zero catches. So a usual Eagles stat line for Jalen Reagor. I just wanted to throw that out. Since, you know, we mentioned Irving Fryer, friend of the show, Jalen Reagor, not a friend of the show. That dude sucks. You know who doesn't suck is the Eagles, the best team in the NFL.
Yeah. 12-1. It's great. Last time they were 12-1, I believe was 2004. Where they started 13-1 and then rested the starters the last two games and lost the last two. So, but I want to bring up the defense. Looking at this defense, Brandon Graham, you know, I mentioned it before we came on. I mentioned it. Brandon Graham has had three sacks today.
Mm-hmm.
He has 8.5 sacks for the season. His career high is 9.5, which I believe he got in 2017. And he's coming off of a torn Achilles. He's 34 years old, if I'm not mistaken. And, of course, Also, Hassan Reddick got his 10th sack of the season, third straight year of double-digit sacks. But again, this Eagles team could potentially – Brandon Graham's a sack and a half away. I believe Javon Hargrave –
Josh, what? Should be up there. Hargrave has 7.5.
I think he does, and I think Javon Hargrave has 8 sacks. So they're on pace. They could have the first, I think, ever – 3 players with double-digit sacks. With this history of defensive linemen, I'll have to check a little bit later and stuff. But again, this defense, this pass rush, I can't say how much Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph and having a healthy Jordan Davis now, even Milton Williams, I'll give him. He's been getting a good run as well. Fletcher Cox is playing well. The amount of rotation that this team is able to do. And of course, Robert Quinn's on IR. He can't even, you know, get in the game. And the way they're playing is absolutely phenomenal. Seeing them being able to rotate, keep bodies fresh, that is huge.
Not only keep bodies fresh, but as the season goes on, I mean, today we don't know the outcome of today. I mean, we're going to have to go out and get a new punter because the blatant unnecessary roughness on Aaron Sipes.
That's crazy.
Because what ended up happening is the referees were so focused on whether or not he was allowed to advance the ball that they ignored the fact that he was clearly hit 3 yards out of bounds. But that's neither here nor there. You play on a wet day on a bad field and in December, and you're going to come across injuries. So you saw them pull Lane Johnson. He's like, I could have gone back in. I'm glad he didn't. We were well in hand. You saw Sipos get hurt. You're going to come across injuries now. And you saw, you know, Robert Quinn being on IR right now. So the fact that we have just a plethora of defenders is why we are able to constantly rush the quarterback. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we were very concerned because we had just had a game where we had let up a lot of rushing yards to not a very good running back. And we looked at the slate of
games coming ahead.
Games coming up. We said, "Oh, here we go. We have Aaron Jones. We have Derrick Henry. We have Saquon Barkley." And we panicked a little bit. So Howie goes out and he gets Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph, and they immediately insert themselves. And the issues with stopping the run have stopped.
Yeah. No, they've been as advertised, and. The other injury you didn't mention, the Reed Blankenship injury. It did not look good. That's concerning. I could definitely see them going and snatching up a veteran, possibly Anthony Harris, since he was here last year, knows the defense, to get another veteran back there, because unfortunately you can't go with Kayvon Wallace.
He's too slow.
It's so disappointing too, because I remember, Johnny, us talking about Kayvon Wallace when we drafted him and the excitement that I personally had because you wanted the positive story, especially when it came to he's a safety out of Clemson, just like Brian Dawkins. Maybe it's Brian Dawkins. He is not. I don't know if he can spell Brian Dawkins. That's how
for a reason.
He might be a special teams player.
Special teams. Christian Ellis needs to be on the active roster because that guy.
He makes some big tackles every single week.
He's down on the field. You always see him. On the big Boston Scott return. He was there making a couple big blocks. He made one block and then he got to another guy on the next level there. He's making so many big plays. And I did see also Kyron Johnson went out with a shoulder injury. Don't know how severe that is, but Christian Ellis needs to be a guy that has to be activated.
It'll be activated for sure.
It needs to be on that 53. But that's just
I remember even a couple years ago, you know, special teams were something that was considered very important. You know, Ike Reese made the Pro Bowl multiple seasons for being the special teams player in the NFL.
Making
so
impact plays down there.
You're making impact plays. It's okay to just be a special teams player. I think that's where Kayvon Wallace's maximum is. I do see them being on the phone with Anthony Harris probably tonight, is my guess, especially with Blankenship being hurt. We don't know what that looks like, but you cannot roll into a game with a Justin Fields where their game plan is going to be run the ball with David Montgomery and Justin Fields to run the ball, and he's your last line of defense. He's going to get burned nonstop, and you can't have it.
Yeah, and the other thing defensively I want to bring up, the end of that game, today. The Richie James hit that was a penalty is absolute bogus. I'm so sick and tired of them throwing flags. Richie James catches the ball, lowers his head lower than Marcus Epps. What do you expected to do? Sorry, I just wanted to bring that up because that kind of like pissed me off a little bit because the guy's lowering his head to a vulnerable position. There's nothing the defender can do where he's coming. So I just think all that penalty bullshit, it didn't really matter. The game was already done.
Sure.
But of course they get that garbage time touchdown, which sucked. But all in all though, this team has just been offensively, and even the past 2 weeks defensively, they're just on a roll. And again, it's pretty scary when you look at the other teams in the NFC looking at this, because if the Eagles are hitting their stride again, they had a little bit of a lull there in the middle, started off really hot. They had a little bit of a lull there, you know, with the Washington game and then with, you know, them struggling in Indianapolis and all that. And then now they're starting to turn it on again towards the end of the season, the most crucial time in the season, into December and into January, into the playoffs, you know, trying to get that number one seed, wrap that up so everybody comes through Philadelphia.
It's we don't even have Dallas Goedert or Johnson.
And you don't have Dallas Goedert.
Like, come on. Yeah. Like, it's unreal what we're doing. And I seriously don't even think, like, even if Blankenship can't go this week, that he won't be that big of a miss, because the Bears aren't passing on the Eagles. It's just not happening. They have no pass targets, and Fields is not a good passer. So we'll try to run. But we just need to have some kind of, like, some, like, security blanket just in case, like, Kayvon Wallace gets hurt. Yeah. Or, you know, Marcus Epps gets hurt, then what?
Yeah, he's a veteran out there on the market, knows the defense, has been in the Vikings defense, has been with the Eagles last year. To me, it's an absolute no-brainer. You do have, you know, veteran safety on the practice squad, Marquise Blair, who's been here a couple weeks. But I think you go the veteran route. You get the guy there. He knows the defense. And, you know, even
can Andre play safety?
He does. I think he plays, like, nickel corner and safety. Okay. He could possibly be elevated as well. Honestly, I'd rather have him. Or – I know Josiah Scott played a little safety now that Avante's back.
Yeah, he can play some safety too.
My concern with all the names that you're mentioning, and again, Blankenship has been a really nice surprise. And Marcus Epps has been playing incredible this season. Oh, but absolutely. I think you don't, at this point with what you're trying to accomplish, you do not want to put another kind of question mark back there. That's why I think the Anthony Harris move makes a lot of sense, provided he's healthy.
Yeah.
But I think the Anthony Harris move makes a lot of sense because he knows Gannon's defense already. He didn't have a lot of success. He wasn't a bad player last year. He just wasn't good enough to kind of keep.
He wasn't a playmaker. He's, like I said, he's smart. He knows the defense. He's going to come up. He's going to, you know, he's going to tackle. It's just, it's a no brainer, especially.
But it's all hypothetical at this point because we don't know what's the deal with Blankenship. We do have a shorter week, you know, so we're going to start hearing stuff. I'm a week ahead. I'm already on Christmas Eve against the Cowboys because that's where mentally I want to be.
Got to get through Chicago.
We do have to get through Chicago. What I also like is that we now have a 2-game lead in the NFC. So that is enjoyable.
Yeah. And like Eagles have to just handle business, focus on Chicago, go into Chicago, get out with a win, and head into that pivotal matchup. But again, the Minnesota Vikings losing, now the Eagles are 3 games up on them. So again, there's, you know, some good things when you look at that. And next week, the Giants have a huge matchup against Washington. Both teams are 7-5-1 going into the playoff push. There's a lot of stuff in the NFC. When you look, you know, kind of wrap this up now, you're looking at the NFC, the Seahawks lose to Carolina. Carolina is still in the hunt for that division,
which is insane.
They are.
So are the Saints.
So are the Falcons.
The Eagles still have a top 5 pick, by the way. Yeah,
they do, which is a great thing. And hopefully, you know, I'm hoping New Orleans keeps losing a couple more games. I don't want to see them sneak in the playoffs and that hurt the Eagles there. I still want at least a top 10 pick. But, hey, the other good news is, and I'll bring it up, I won't wait till Wednesday, we all hit on our locks this week. The Uleka locks, they're all we locked it up. We locked it up. Kendall, you had over 400 yards of offense. The Eagles eclipsed that. I had Miles Sanders, 2 total touchdowns. He had 2 rushing touchdowns, which is nice. And then Chip, went with the Boston Scott TD, and he hit it at the end there.
Yeah, thank God for the freaking backups coming in.
You got that. Got that in there. So that was a good thing. Now, hey, he almost came close to a kick return touchdown.
He did.
So,
and just kind of going back real quick to the rest of the NFC, because you were making a really good point. You look at the rest of the NFC, and right now, I just don't see any other team that can – look, Dallas is getting hot, but they're still Dallas, so until they actually do something, I don't worry about them. We have a huge game with them on Christmas Eve, so we'll see what that brings. The 49ers were starting to worry me with Jimmy G, and they beat the hell out of – the Bucs today, which was enjoyable, but losing Debo Samuel, who was still in the game late in the game when he shouldn't have been. We're talking about injuries, things like that.
He'll be all right, I think.
He'll be fine. He's got a high ankle sprain. He'll be out a couple weeks. But the Brock Purdy thing, like, he played well, but that's not a longevity thing. You can't.
I don't know, bro. He looked pretty good today to me.
That team is good. Yeah. CMC looks good. That defense, that team is good. And they're going to win the West. But I don't see them really competing long-term in the NFC this season. I mean, look, I'll be honest. At this point, the NFC is the Eagles to lose.
Yeah,
you're right. And they have to be the front runners in the Super Bowl, because you look at even the powerhouse teams from the AFC, where the Bengals struggled against the Browns. You saw the Chiefs almost blow a game to the Broncos. Tonight's game is going to be interesting with the Dolphins and the Chargers.
There's a lot of open spots in the AFC playoff-wise.
Which is shocking to me, because you look at that, you know, the Ravens are – who's playing quarterback for them? Because Anthony Brown ain't it. You know, the AFC last season, you looked at it and went, oh, my God, they're going to be good for the next decade. They're going to win the Super Bowl for the next decade because they have all this great young quarterback play. If this Eagles nucleus continues to grow together, this team is exceptionally strong for a lot of years to come.
Yeah. Hey, and I'm okay with that. And the one thing I want to bring up in the NFC, the way San Francisco can be a scary team is if they are able to control the game defensively, and mm-hmm. you're able to score. If you're scoring points on them, I don't think they're going to be able to keep up with you that way. And then you're talking about Dallas. I think one thing with Dallas is their secondary, I feel, is going to be a little bit of a scary situation for them. They lost Jordan Lewis a few weeks
back. Another one.
They lost Anthony Brown, the cornerback, last week. So they're down two veteran corners there. So
the Eagles' biggest threat in the NFC is the 49ers. And they have the best defense, and their offense is still great no matter who's playing quarterback. Like, they have McCaffrey. Debo will be okay, I guess. But they still have Ayuk, they have Kittle. Like, they have a complete offense, and their defense is probably the only defense who can slow down the Eagles' offense. I don't consider the Cowboys a threat. Like, they don't seem like they have – they're good at games, but they're just not consistent enough to win in this league, and they're not going to be able to win the Super Bowl with that team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, and Dallas, you know, the other thing with them is I don't know how many more times I can say it. Ezekiel Elliott is not the best player on that team. So as many times they continue to try and get him 20 to 25 touches a game, it slows their offense down. Yes, he had, 4.1 yards a carry, and he ran one in. Like, that's great. The stubbornness that Mike McCarthy shows as a Dallas Cowboys coach to not get Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard is devastating. I don't know why they just do not give him the ball. You saw how good that team was when Ezekiel Elliott was out and Tony Pollard was the future back. So, again, I'm okay with Mike McCarthy being an idiot. I know he doesn't watch the show, so he doesn't have my coaching advice. That's great. Appreciate that. But this Eagles team is going to hit you from 75 different ways, and then they're going to hit you again right in the mouth and cause turnovers. And that's how I feel.
Yeah. No, but with that, great victory, 12-1. We will be back on Wednesday night to break down the Chicago Bears Eagles with a special guest.
Who are we bringing?
Clay Harbor will be joining us.
Clay Harbor,
the former Eagles tight end. A lot of us know him as that. Some of us know him as other contestant on a show. And he's got his own Bears podcast, the Bare Minimum podcast with Marshall Harris. So he's going to join us and talk a little bit about that matchup, break it down. So, but hey, Eagles are 12-1, got the win, and we end the show, as always, with a very happy
and positive
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds, boys.
This is Matt Ware. Hey, for all the Eagle content you need, go follow All About the Birds. They do a damn thing. Check them out.
Hey, Eagles fans. I may be in Tampa, but I know where to find the best Eagles content out there. Check out my friends at All About the Birds.
Philadelphia, what's up? This is your boy Freddie Mitchell, a.k.a. Fred X. It's All About the Bird.
All birds all the time.
All birds all the time.
All About the Birds provides you with weekly analysis, game recaps, informative interviews, and it's all birds all the time.